Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33, and the book of John, chapter 15, verse 5. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the scriptures on the screen. Again, that is Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33, and the book of John, chapter 15, verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Happy New Year, Community City Church. You know, with the new year upon us, many are either excited or nervous about this upcoming year. Many are excited because you can have a fresh start, and this is going to be the year where great things will happen. This will be the year where you take it to the next level and accomplish even more than before. But for others, you are nervous because of all the unknowns that the year will bring. What happens if the problems from last year happen again this year? What if the new year is worse than the last? And so in order to prepare for the new year, people will make resolutions with the hopes that their new year will be the best that it can be. People make resolutions because deep down, they ultimately want to experience greater progress and positive change in their lives. And the top 10 most common New Year's resolutions that people seek to accomplish in the new year are 1, exercise more, 2, lose weight, 3, get organized, 4, learn a new skill or hobby, 5, live life to the fullest, 6, save more money, spend less money, 7, quit smoking, 8, spend more time with family and friends, 9, travel more, 10, read more. So how about you? What are you seeking to do in the new year? And those most common resolutions are not bad in themselves. In fact, many of them are great things to do or have as resolutions. But one thing that I did notice is that of all the websites that I previewed about the different resolutions that people were seeking to do, not one of those resolutions had anything to do with God or even seeking God. Every one of those top 10 resolutions had to do with seeking what is best for us rather than seeking God's best for us, because there is a difference. What we think is best for us may not actually be God's best for us. And if you were to ask yourself that out of all the things that you would hope to accomplish in this new year, is seeking God and becoming more like Him in every area of your life one of those priorities for you? Because the reality is that if we seek anything and everything without God being in the picture, we will continue to be aimlessly seeking. If we accomplish the change that we hope for with our resolutions, but God is not part of the picture, that change only becomes cosmetic, meaning that an initial change happens, but is not change that will last. If we do life or make plans or decisions apart from His influence this year, the reality is that not only will we repeat the mistakes of the past, which are painful, not only will we be wasting time, but we will build lives that look successful to everyone else, but yet will miss the mark of what God would have wanted to do instead. Plus, apart from God, what we accomplish will have no significant value in light of eternity. See, our lives matter, and how we live our lives matter, because they will affect us and those around us. Who we become matters because it will affect us and those around us. And the reason why we have to include God in everything that we do is because we're not just physical beings, but also spiritual beings. In fact, we are more of a spiritual being than a physical one. And how do I know this? Well, because our physical lives only last for 80 to 90 years, whereas our spiritual lives last forever. Our physical lives are only a dot on this line called eternity. See, if God is not a part of the picture of your decisions, you will get caught up in living for the dot. This is why most of the resolutions, ambitions, and even goals that we have only live for the temporal, which is the dot, versus resolutions, ambitions, and goals that affect us both now and for eternity, the line. And when we just live for the dot, we miss out on God's best for our lives, because it's all about the dot. If we see God in everything, not only will the dot be the best kind of life that we could ever hope for or imagine, but our dot will affect other dots now and for all of eternity. That is why when we try to use physical things or have physical goals to satisfy or fulfill us, it never does. Because only a spiritual God and spiritual purposes satisfy our spiritual being. All humans are made up of both body and spirit. In fact, scripture makes a clear distinction between the two. Adam was the first person to be created by God, and we read in scripture, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." See, God breathed into Adam's lifeless form with the breath of life. And since all of us are spiritual beings, that means that from the moment we are born, we begin a lifelong process of spiritual formation. Meaning that at all times, we are either being formed to be more like God or being formed to be unlike God. And there is no in between, because whatever we seek or whatever we allow to influence us forms us spiritually. So we're either being spiritually shaped by God, or we are being shaped by the world, the culture, our family, our spouse or significant other, our friends, our favorite influencer, the movies or media we consume, and the music we listen to, just to name a few. And if any of those things or people are not pointing us to the ways of God, then we're actually being spiritually formed by those things to be unlike God. I mean, just look at the messages that influence your life that determine how you live and make decisions. Messages like, I have to be perfect. I'm not good enough. I need more. No one loves me because of what I've done. My past is too dirty for God or anyone to forgive me. Rest? That's for losers. Don't admit you are wrong. And if someone hurts you, hurt them back. Do what feels right. Cut corners as long as you get what you want. You know, it's my way or the highway. As long as no one gets hurt, it is okay to do it. If I don't look out for me, then who will? See, these are definitely not God's messages, but these messages that we often live by shape us spiritually, and they shape us to be unlike God. And such messages or influences affect us physically in our day-to-day living and even in how we make decisions and how we treat other people. Maybe that is why you have the tendency to work all the time, have the tendency to frequently complain, to criticize yourself and even others. Maybe that is why you are tight-fisted with your money and resources. Maybe that is why you seek other people's approval, are frequently worried, stressed, irritable, and angry, because your daily decisions are shaping you to be unlike God. So how do we tell if we're being shaped to be like God or shaped to be unlike God? The way you answer the following questions is a good indicator. Are you more loving or unloving towards yourself and others? Are you joyful or joyless? Do you have internal peace or internal turmoil? Are you patient with people and circumstances or impatient and frequently angry? Do you want to do what God wants or only what you want? Are you able to submit to the ways of God or do you fight against what He wants? Are you gentle when you don't get what you want, or do you power up and force your way on others and through circumstances? Do you have self-control to resist temptation, or do you just give into your sinful desires? And even better still, it is asking someone who is close to you, who deals with you on a regular basis, to answer these questions with you. Oftentimes, we can lack self-awareness, so asking someone close to us who we trust to give us honest answers to these questions can actually help us to evaluate how we're really being shaped to be more like Christ or unlike Christ. These questions can help us to identify the areas of our life where we especially would want to spend more time seeking God in this upcoming year. Because if you are going to seek anything this year, seek God. And when we don't, and when we seek other things apart from God, things may look great on the outside, but under the surface of our smiles and our, hey, yeah, we're doing okay, you know, many of us are actually bogged down with worry. People are plagued by the uncertainty of life and stressed with all the things that still need to be done. This leads to panic, which leads to restlessness and fears that leads to more anxiety. This can make us feel discontent or disconnected with what we have as we deal with unmet expectations and how situations have turned out. There seems to be endless conflict in our family, marriage, relationships, and even within ourselves. We're stretched thin with money and with time, and everything may seem picture perfect with us on social media, but yet when no one's around, we are left to deal with our loneliness, brokenness, loss, grief, health issues, and even shattered dreams. We have so much on our minds that oftentimes we can't even sleep. We've been so busy seeking our will and our ways apart from God that many of us are eating the fruits of what it is that we have been seeking. And knowing this, that is why Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus makes it very simple. When we walk and continuously remain in him, we will not only be shaped by him, but we will bear much fruit. It is the kind of fruit that manifests in our lives that reflect him season after season after season. But if we don't remain in him, we will do nothing of real eternal value. Without him, our branches may look full of leaves and be successful in this world, but nothing that is of value for eternity. See, no one plants grape vines to get just leaves. They plant in order to get grapes. And at the end of our lives, if our branches are filled with leaves but bear no resemblance of godly influence, then we are just branches with no fruit. And if this new year is ever going to be different, then we have to start doing things differently and to do it with God at the forefront of everything that we do. Because without him, we can do nothing. That's why Jesus said, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. See, the reason why many of us are worried or stressed about our lives is because we're too engrossed in our own plans and doing things our way when it comes to our own concerns. But instead, We need to seek first God and His concerns. Because if you are going to seek anything this year, seek God. Because it is in seeking God first, and first the concerns of God, that we start to be shaped to be like God. And the opposite is also true. Because when we don't seek God, then what we do is we start to seek other things or other people in order to find purpose or significance. And so instead of God, we seek food, drink, clothing, money, stuff, likes, education, career, status, power in order to be satisfied. When God is not a part of the picture, people end up preoccupied with seeking material things, whereby all their attention and energy is absorbed in that pursuit, which brings about their own anxiety. And when people, especially those who consider themselves to be followers of Jesus, live that way, like everybody else, they are really declaring by their actions that they don't trust their Heavenly Father and they're living like atheists. But Jesus encourages us to seek two specific things this year above all else. The first is to seek God's kingdom. When Jesus talks about seeking God's kingdom, he's talking about allowing God and his ways to lead, rule, and reign over and in our lives. And this happens for anyone who is willing to humble themselves before God, repent of their ways, believe that his ways are better, and then submit to God's ways, which allows God's Spirit to now enter into their lives and transform them as they are now spiritually born again, meaning born into a new way of living their life and living their life with God, where He reigns in our lives and where we are not reigning over our lives or even allowing other influences to reign over our lives. And this daily choice to first seek God's kingdom for ourselves now allows God's influence to reign and to affect every single area of our life, which includes our home, marriage, family, values, attitudes, career, money, relationships, as we joyfully submit our will for us to Jesus' will for us. This purposeful seeking of God's kingdom will continue in our immediate environment and will transform us so that we're not just looking out for our own interests, but also the interests of our neighbors, our colleagues, our friends, our family, as they learn about God and His influence in their lives. Because once you seek God's kingdom, everything of God is now available to you. And so it is sharing this new way of life and God's salvation to those around you so that others can experience God's kingdom for themselves. But seeking God's kingdom is just the first step, because Jesus also encourages us to seek God's righteousness. A lot of times people will ask, hey, what's the difference between God's kingdom and His righteousness? Seeking God's kingdom is where Jesus is consciously acknowledged as our Messiah and King. And that happens when we accept Him into our lives. So that means that spiritually, we are right with God and we have inherited this kingdom of God that He has promised us. However, when we seek God's righteousness, it is allowing God's character to influence everything that we do and how we live. It is God's righteousness that transforms believers into the image of Jesus, as those believers bring God's righteousness into their communities and into the world. I like to think of seeking God's kingdom and righteousness like someone looking to get in shape and be healthy. Seeking God's kingdom is like getting a gym membership or buying a treadmill for your house. By getting those things, the tools you need for healthy living are now available to you. In fact, it can change your whole health lifestyle. But it is going consistently to the gym or using the treadmill that now allows that healthy lifestyle to play out in everything that you do, and that is what seeking God's righteousness is like. See, there are people that have accepted God and they have his kingdom, but now it is seeking God's righteousness, meaning allowing that salvation to now display itself in every area of their life to everyone around them. The unfortunate thing is that many people will seek one, but not the other. But when we seek both God's kingdom and God's righteousness, we start to experience God in a much deeper way, and our lives change both now and for eternity, including all the lives of the people we influence because of what God is doing in our lives. See, our faith is not just meant for our benefit, but it is being his image bearers to those around us. It is where those who are outside God's kingdom can see God displayed and they can desire it and experience it for themselves. It is helping others in our communities to be spiritually shaped by the love and the values of God. And so it's seeking first God's kingdom and then his righteousness. So when we tend to our families, it is seeking his kingdom and righteousness in us first, because that will influence how we speak to others, love others, guide or advise others. When we seek his kingdom and righteousness in our relationships first, we will serve others and deal with conflict where we look to serve and not just to be served. When we seek his kingdom and righteousness in the way that we use our money, we will have eternal purposes in mind and not just temporal. We will give generously towards the concerns of God and not just towards ourselves and our own concerns or comforts. When we seek his kingdom and his righteousness, we become transformed people that reflect him in the things that we do. We become more loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, faithful, gentle, and with more self-control as we exhibit God's goodness to those around us. And isn't that something better to aim for in the new year? You seeking God and being changed to be like God? You being transformed from the inside out? In fact, the people around you will thank you for taking such steps. So this year, you get to decide how you will be formed based on where your devotion lies. Will you aim for God-centeredness or self-centeredness? God-like or unlike God? It is either one or the other, and there is no third alternative. And how we decide will determine the kind of ambition we pursue and the kind of person we end up becoming. Because if you're going to seek anything this year, seek God. And when we seek God, Jesus gives us the promise that all these things will be given to you as well. See, the reality is this. When we seek our self-centered lives and personal ambition, while God is pushed to the side, we will miss God and eventually lose all that we are striving for. Whereas if we seek God and his priorities for our lives and for this world, all the things that we need will be ours. As long as our ambitions are aligned to God's plans and not in competition to it, such ambitions will become healthy ones. God doesn't want a part of our life. He wants all of it. And when we seek God first, we will find that all our needs and not our greeds will be fulfilled. This doesn't mean that we don't need to be responsible, nor does it mean that we will never face tough times. Rather, it means that even in challenging times, when he comes first and when we honor him in all that we do, he will guide our steps in making sure that in all things, he will work for the good of those that love him. So what is your plan to seek God in the new year? I'm going to give you four things that you can be doing daily as you seek God and His best for your life. The first, love God with your schedule. The first is love God with your schedule. I knew a guy who would tell me that he loved his wife, but yet he was never around for his wife. He never loved her with his schedule. And for many of us, we will say that we love God or want to be more like Him in our lives, but when we look at our schedule, we don't make time for Him because we're too busy making time for everything else. So in order to seek God's kingdom and His righteousness, it is making time for that. So cut things out of your schedule so you can put God in. Because adding more without cutting the access in our schedule will lead to being overwhelmed. So cut and make time. You can't seek God first when He's not first in your schedule. Speaking to someone for 5 minutes a day or every few days doesn't help us to get to know someone intimately. But putting in the time consistently develops a beautiful, intimate relationship. And during this time, you can pray, you can fast, you can read scripture, you can be in silence and solitude as you worship God and love Him with your schedule and as He meets you exactly where you're at. Number two, pick a plan, a time, and a place. Plan out your daily schedule with God and stick with it. Treat that time like a meeting that you have with a friend or a boss. Don't be late, don't reschedule, but be present. Pick a time when that will happen daily or multiple times during the day. And pick a place where that will happen. Your room, the bathroom, a closet, the car, or in the woods. And the reason why I say this is because goals without building daily and weekly habits to support them don't get us anywhere, but just give us the same results that we are getting all along. Number three, make it a point to be in spiritual community and let someone know your plan to seek God this year. Trying to make any change without accountability never, ever lasts. And trying to follow Jesus and be more like Jesus without others is absolutely impossible. God gave us others, which is the church, to walk with us and to encourage us, to pray with us and to correct us. And it's choosing to be in spiritual community consistently that changes and matures us. It also gives us the motivation to keep going and to trust God, especially when things get tough. I've seen people who have tried to follow Jesus on their own, and they eventually become cold for God, meaning they're not active for God because they have been on the sidelines. Just like a bunch of coals together burn brightly, take one away from the group, and eventually the coal will grow cold. But when you gather all the coals, the fire burns brightly again. That same principle applies to followers of Jesus. Get to know people in spiritual community. And if you are married, get to know others besides your spouse. And get to know others by yourself in community. Build friendships with them. Let them know your plan so that they can encourage you and hold you accountable to that plan. And number four, daily surrender to God and cooperate with His will in our lives. We can have a plan and spend time with God or even go to church or even serve at church, all without actually surrendering every area of our life to Him. Meaning, yes, we have made that decision to follow Jesus, but yet there can still be areas of our lives where we display our own righteousness instead of God's righteousness. Like retaliation when we don't get our way, ignoring conflict, not forgiving people, gossiping, wanting control, being selfish with our resources, just to name a few. So it is making a daily choice to surrender and deny ourselves so that we can follow Him. It is letting go of the treasures of this world and letting go of our expectations of how God needs to work in order to accomplish our agenda. It is letting go of our bitterness, our pride, and our ego. It is saying, God, your will is my will, as God sets us apart for him and his purposes. When we are surrendered, we go from living a life of self-reliance to now a life of God-reliance. When we are surrendered, we go from being in bondage to now experiencing freedom in Christ. And when we do this, God will give us next steps where we can step out in faith in order to cooperate with him as we become his hands and feet in this world. You know, Facing the Giants is one of my favorite movies. Although it is fictional, all the events in the movie were events that had actually happened to real people. The director took these events and wrote the screenplay, which is really a modern day parable of what can happen when people start to seek God's kingdom and righteousness first. It's a story about a football team at a small Christian high school. After 6 years without a winning season, pressure started to mount for Coach Grant Taylor, whose job was at stake if the team didn't pull off a winning season. The football team was discouraged and felt defeated because everything that they did was not working. They kept getting the same results season after season and game after game and didn't know what to do. The team's original philosophy was like any other football team, which was all about getting wins. But then one day, Coach Taylor was reading scripture and realized that he and the way that he was coaching needed to change. If the significance of him or the team season was all about winning, and if he and the team walked away with the trophy, but yet were not changed individuals for God, then what was the point of the wins and the trophy? He realized that this situation that he was facing was an opportunity to seek God, because God was trying to do something in the midst of all this turmoil. So he and the team began to seek God in everything, including football. So with practice, it was not giving up when things got tough, but honoring God and giving their best even through obstacles. When it came to school, it was honoring God and giving their best at school and in their studies. Whatever they did, they were going to seek God and honor him with their lives. If they won, they would praise God. And if they lost, they would still praise God. Because God was the focus and not the wins. And as a result, not only did Coach Taylor change, but the individual athletes on the team started to change as well. And they started to love one another in ways that they never loved one another before. They started to work together in ways that they had never worked together before. They honored their parents, their teachers, and even their friends and classmates. They were seeking not only God's kingdom, but allowing his righteousness to change their behavior and their lives. And not only did the coaching staff of the football team change, but so did the football team, the whole school, and even the community, because it was the God factor that was leading all these things. God was the one who changed perspectives and their lives, which meant that when they played their games, it wasn't just about winning. It was about seeking God and honoring him with all areas of their lives. And when the team did this, they actually ended up winning the state championship. But the reality was that it wasn't about the state championship, because lives were changed as a result. And that meant so much more than a trophy in a case. They were living for something that was eternal and not temporal. So what about you? What are you going to seek in this new year? God's kingdom or your kingdom? God's righteousness or the world's standard of righteousness? God's will or your own will? Because what you decide daily will determine if you become more Christ-like or unlike Christ. What you decide daily will determine whether your life glorifies God and has impact or ends up in shambles. Remember, it's easy to build a life without God and have it look successful in the eyes of everyone else, including your own. But what is the point if all you have built shapes you to where you have ended up far from God? What is the point of gaining the whole world, but losing your soul and everything that you have built up on your own efforts apart from God? So seek God. Because if you're going to seek anything this year, seek God. Seek God in everything you do, and may this be the year where you are transformed even more into God's likeness. When this happens, you will be eternally grateful to Him, and so will the people around you. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, forgive us when we seek other things besides you, when we make plans or have ambitions apart from you, when we follow our ways instead of your ways. And so, God, we want more of you, and we want your say and your influence and your blessings in everything that we do, in every decision that we make, and in the life that we live. God, we need you every day this year. And so we surrender all that we have, and we allow you to lead us and shape us into the likeness of your Son, so that our lives matter here and for all of eternity. You know, as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience His love and hope. You want to experience His forgiveness for your sins. Well, know that God loves you so much that He came to earth as Jesus in order to forgive you for your sins and to create an avenue so that you can have a real relationship with Him now and for all of eternity. He lived a perfect life, and then He chose to die for your sins and mine so that we can have forgiveness and new life in Him. And not only did He die, but on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, proving to the whole world that He wasn't just a man, but that He's the God who saves. And if that is what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life in this new year, to save you from your sins, and to transform you into the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me to be the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you prayed to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe, and that you are part of His family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision. We would love to get you some resources and even get to know you better so that we can walk alongside you and help you to grow in that relationship with God. Now go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.